I want to read to you this morning from Isaiah chapter 12, which is not your archetypal harvest passage, but there's some things in here that I think I really want to show you, and I hope that you'll agree they're themes for us to celebrate as we come to Harvest Thanksgiving. So I'm going to read, it's only a short chapter, Isaiah chapter 12, and if I remember rightly, I'm reading from the New International Version. On that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have had compassion on me. Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. And on that day you will say, give thanks to Yahweh. Proclaim his name. Celebrate his works among the peoples. Declare that his name is exalted. Sing to Yahweh, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and sing, citizen of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in his greatness. Does anybody want to say amen? Now, I have to tell you, I've been in an Elim Pentecostal church for 15 years, all right? So the longer it takes you to say amen, the longer I preach, all right? That's the deal, okay? Just so that we all feel at home with each other. That's good. As we come to our Harvest Thanksgiving this morning, I want to exhort us to be a people of thankfulness, of praise to God. And of course, ostensibly, we've got tokens of thanksgiving for God's provision of food and flocks, of allowing sunshine and rain to heat and water the earth to bring forth its bounty. But I want to suggest to you this morning that God would have us widen our perspective and to be grateful and thankful for more than just a physical harvest. In fact, as a pastor, I, on numerous occasions, had people come to me and say, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? Well, let me give you a scripture that ties in with what I'm just going to say, because Paul writes, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And when people ask me about God's will, I always start with that scripture. Can you be thankful for God and what he's doing in your heart and your life right at where you are? You might not like the circumstances, but can you be thankful to God that you've got God alongside you through the circumstances? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And of course, Harvest Thanksgiving is a trigger for us to give thanks to God, but it's not the sole occasion that we give thanks to God. It's certainly not a new event. For thousands of years, people have given thanks for crops and flocks and a variety of goods and in many different ways. In fact, there's an oldie English word, it's Hayfest, and it means autumn, literally. So autumn was the time of year where we came to give thanksgiving for the success of our reaping. It grew up around, the Harvest Thanksgiving itself grew up around the time of the full moon, the first full moon following the autumn equinox, round about now, where people took a selection of their reapings to church and gave thanks to God for blessing the ground, and then they distributed the goods to those less fortunate than themselves. Some people would take corn from the field, they would bake bread, they would take the bread to church, they would give thanks to God, and then they would give the bread to the poor thereafter. In Israel, of course, the Jews celebrated Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, when they thought about traveling from Egypt through to the Promised Land. And it was one of the three great pilgrimage feasts where every Jewish male would go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at the temple. It was to thank him for his faithfulness. It was to thank him for the ingathering of the goods. It's inspiring us also to make provision for those less fortunate than ourselves. Actually, I want to say to you this morning that God is much more ready to accept a harvest of ourselves than perhaps we give him credit for. It's great that we bring gifts that can be distributed, But actually, God would have us express our thanks and praise to him audibly. There's a wonderful Bible refrain. I'm going to say it. We'll say it together afterwards, perhaps. It's this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Let's say it together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. I hope you might remember that phrase and repeat it through the coming days in your own personal devotion. I want to show you very quickly this morning four ways that God proves himself to be good, and they're all found in the passage that I read to you from Isaiah chapter 12. So let me firstly introduce you in verse 5 to the God of strength. Isaiah declares, "The Lord God is my strength and my song." I was with Sue Richens, who some of you will know, a few weeks ago, and I've got a little confession to make. Don't tell Judith whatever you do, okay? But I went out with Sue before I went out with Judith, all right? And on one occasion, we went to the park, which is on the Thorns Road, which goes from sort of like Cradley down towards Lye. And there was a fun fair in the park, and Sue and I went. And I was recounting this story to her because as I was going up to Lake Street one day, this story just popped into my mind, as I was going up the road. Sue and I went, and there was one of those machines where, you know, you hit it with a mallet, and something goes up and it hits a bell at the top. And we watched it for a while, and we saw a couple of guys, and they sort of hit it. And I thought, I can do this. I took my anorak off. I got myself all worked up. I got a hold of the... And you generally can see what's coming, can't you? You can see the disaster which is about to unfold. And I got the mallet, and I swung it. And, you know, it went about halfway, and then it came back down. I can't pretend that I'm very strong. And the truth is that every single one of us will find circumstances where we're out of our depth, where we're at the end of our resources, where we do not know which way to go next. But I want to declare to you this morning from the Word of God, God is your strength, and he wants to be your song. Do you know, can I tell you this morning that God is big? The scripture tells me that he fills the whole universe. That's big. I used to know exactly how many miles it was in billions, but the figure's just gone off the top of my head. But it's billions and billions and billions. He's big. He's powerful. He created the world by speaking it into being. He set limits for the coastline. He's put notable dates already in the diary. He sustains the world by his powerful word. He brings governments into being and he brings them to naught. And all this leads me to the scripture in Psalm 115, verse 3, that says, "Our God is in the heavens and he does all that he pleases." Don't ever think that this world is running by society's demands. Our God is in control. Can I tell you that? You're allowed to say amen. Come on. Wake up. I'm reminded of the children's chorus. I've done it billions of times in Sunday school, in school. Our God is so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. Just to prove I did open the book. He's all wise, Romans 16, 27. He knows all about you and I, Psalm 139, verse 1. And the wonder of it all is this, that although he knows all about us, he still loves us. He's my strength. He's my song. He knows about my failings. He knows about my fears. He knows about the future that is waiting for me to walk into. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 54, verse 10 this morning. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Come on. Somebody say amen, for goodness sake. If we can't get excited about the fact that God's love is never going to be removed from us, you need a checkup from the neck up. Come on. Oh, I'm glad you came. Do you know what the most depressing book in the Bible is reputed to be? It's the Book of Lamentations, where Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, says this. He says, I remember the bitterness and the gall. In other words, the bad things that happened. Who's had bad things happen to them in the last few weeks? Come on. Oh, a few of you. Bad things. I remember the bitterness and the gall. Yet this I bring to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Hallelujah! Our God is our strength and our song. We look to him at time of need and he supplies. We're never impoverished. He's never caught short. He's never found wanting. He's more than that. He's our joy and our song. We don't deserve his grace and his mercy, but he showers it out upon us just like the rain came down this morning. It woke me up this morning. Did it wake you up? It woke me up and I thought, oh Lord, I want to turn over, but I've got to walk the dog. He showers it out upon us. He's strong. He's capable. Philippians tells me, my God shall meet all my need according to his riches in Christ. You see, if your provision was dependent upon your bank account, I'd be worried. But it's not. My God shall meet your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. No one really understands how an apple tree bursts into blossom and slowly produces the fruit that we can bite into and enjoy. But God knows, and God makes it happen, and he's able to turn things around in your circumstances too. Praise him this morning. Our God is my strength and my song. But let me secondly introduce you to the God of stupendous deeds. In Isaiah chapter 12, it says, make known his deeds among the people. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. A few moments ago, I said that God created the world. David declares in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. One of the most magical things I've ever done in my life was we were raising money to send a young man to Africa, I think with Tony. And so we decided that we would raise money by doing the three peaks. That's Ben Nevis, Scarfell, and Snowden. And there was no organization to what we did. And so we just sort of met at 4 o'clock at the Pedmore House Hotel, as it was at the time, before they knocked it down and built houses. And we drove up to Ben Nevis. By the time we got there, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we went to the youth hostel, which is a building with an overhanging canopy. And it was a dry night, so we put our sleeping bags on the broadwalk around the youth hostel. And we got in our sleeping bags, and the stars, I've got to tell you, the stars. Wow, if you ever get a chance to get a sleeping bag and go and sleep in a garden or in a place where you can just see the stars, I want to tell you, the heavens declare the glory of God. We're going to be talking about science with a group at E3 up at Gornal a bit later this afternoon. Can I tell you, science has learnt the secret of DNA. It's landed a man on the moon. It's enabled people across the globe to communicate in visual and audio means. But they haven't yet found a way to self-replicate life. They haven't yet found a way to prevent death. They haven't yet found a way to create a light show like the Northern Lights. He has done stupendous things. In John's Gospel, the writer says that the Word of God became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory full of grace and truth. And the one who lived in closest intimacy with the Father has made him known to us. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ did amazing things as he came into the world and lived amongst us. He turned water into wine. He healed a nobleman's son from a distance. He stilled a violent storm. He fed 5,000 men and women from a little boy's lunchbox. I love that story. I want to meet that young man when I get to heaven. I want to say, give me a high five. I'm so glad that you're in the Bible. Can I tell you, he walked on water. He cursed a fig tree and it instantly withered. He healed the lame, the blind, the demonized, the deaf, the mute. He raised the dead to life. He told stories that captured people's imaginations. He even healed his friend's mother-in-law. Aren't you glad that's in the Bible? He accepted the sinners, the outcasts, women, children that were on the fringes of that particular society. I'm not saying that was right. I'm just saying that's the society that it was. He accepted all those that were prepared to put their faith and trust in him. Can I tell you, without fear of contradiction this morning, if he were here today, he'd accept you and I. Well, here's the good news. He is with us this morning. And he opens his arms widely to you this morning and says, I've got a little girl. She's 24. My little girl, Sarah, she lives down in Abingdon. She'll come home. She goes through the door. She drops her bags on the floor. She holds her arms out and goes, in other words, Dad, come and give me a love. I want to tell you this morning, if Jesus Christ was stood where I'm stood right now, what do you think he'd be doing? His arms would be wide open. He'd say, come on, come and have a love. The Son of God loves you, is here for you, accepts you, values you, welcomes you, resources you, equips you, empowers you to go and be the person that he would have you to be. Can I urge you, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, can I urge you this morning, come and have a chat with me. I'm not scary. We'll sit down, we'll have a chat. I'd love to introduce you to the person that's made the biggest difference in my life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus for many people in our world has been the inspiration. It's caused them to enact just laws. Millions of people have died refusing to change their statement that Jesus makes a difference in their life. He comforts, cares, guides, provides, protects, and he wants us to know him personally. He's the God of stupendous deeds, and we should praise him this morning. Thirdly, can I tell you, he's not only the God of strength and the God of stupendous deeds, he's the God of salvation. Romans 5 verse 8 puts it this way, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you know this verse, why don't you say it along with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, he's the God of salvation. You see, mankind is selfish and hell-bent on living to please themselves. The biblical word for that is sin. And the Bible puts it very clearly so that there can be no misunderstanding. In Romans 3:23, it says very clearly, all. Anybody not understand that word? All have sinned. So you see, I might not know your name. I might not know your address. I might not know your inside leg measurement or your bank balance. But I know this about you. You're a sinner. You might be a sinner that has been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But every single one of us in this room this morning has got a sin problem. So thank God for the God of salvation who would do something about that. God sent Jesus to bear our sins in his body on the tree that we might be forgiven. My kids, when they were little, had a little writing pad with just a plastic pen, and they'd write on it or they'd draw a picture on it, and then they'd go, and it'd be clear again and they could do another one. That reminds me of a verse in Scripture that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Think about when you see a little child with a writing tablet, think about that scripture. He not only wants to forgive you, he wants to purify you from all unrighteousness. He's the God of salvation. I might get excited in a minute. I'm enjoying this message this morning. I hope you're enjoying it. You see, the Bible tells me that he removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Nobody's ever been able to tell me how far that is. I've asked dozens and dozens of congregations. Nobody has ever been able to tell me. I might not have a prison record, but I'm not perfect, and neither are you. If I was to say to you this morning, we're going to display your life of the last week on this screen, every action, every word, every thought for everyone to see, the church would be empty within 30 seconds flat. Not one of us would want to hang around, because all of us have got things that we're ashamed of. But the God of salvation says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can I give you one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible? You'll have to invite me back to preach on this one. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, are you in Christ Jesus? Can you look back to a point where you put your faith and trust? You asked Jesus to come and be your Savior. If you didn't, please come and have a chat with me. I'm honestly not scary. You see, the Bible says this. If you're in Christ, this is Hebrews 2:11. Christ is not ashamed to call you his brother. Let's think about that for a minute. I've got a sister. She's 4.5 years older than me. She's not as good looking as me. I've got to tell you that. She's cleverer than me. She's the only person in the world who can call me her brother. She's the only one. But Jesus Christ looks at you this morning, and if you're in Christ, he says, you're my brother, you're my sister, and I'm not ashamed of you. Isn't that great? See, Christ guides us by his Spirit to live a life before others, to declare him before others, and Jesus Christ comes to stand alongside us. I say to you this morning, just as Christ rescues the seed that goes into the ground and it dies, Christ rescues it and brings it to life and brings forth the bounty that we celebrate this morning. Christ rescues us from the death of our sinfulness, from the death of our failures, from the death of our fears. He rescues us and he brings out a bounty, a harvest of spiritual life, which makes a difference as we live before others. Jesus said this, I have come so that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. I don't know about you, if I've got a choice between still water and sparkling water, I'd just rather have the sparkling. That's just me. We're all different. You see, if I go into a room, say, you know, Judith and I go to a party or something and we're meeting people and, you know, I don't really know. Judith knows a load of people, but I don't know anybody. And so I go up to Karen. I say, hello, who are you? And she says, I'm Karen. I say, okay, what are you interested in? And Karen says, I'm a stamp collector. Okay, well, let's go on and meet somebody else. So we'll go over there. We'll meet Anne-Marie. And I say, hello, who are you? And she says, Anne-Marie. And I say, well, what are you interested in, Anne-Marie? And she says, oh, I make crafted cards. Really? Okay. Fantastic. And then I go and I bump into Jeff, right? And I say, and I'm going to tell a story now, and he's going to either scream or he's going to smile or he's going to do something in a minute. But I say, hello, Jeff, who are you? And he says, oh, I don't say hello, Jeff. I say, hello, who are you? And he says, I'm Jeff. I say, I'm Tim. What are you interested in, Jeff? He says, I'm an Aston Villa supporter. Way! Suddenly I found somebody I can talk to. Do you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be the one that brings life into a party. You're supposed to be the one that brings life into your family, into your workplace. You're bringing salt and light, preservative, to the gym that you go to, where you go to relax, the people you mix and mingle with. They're to look at you and think, God, I really, you know, I really hope Karen's going to, even though she's a stamp collector, I really hope Karen's going to be there. Because the life of Christ is bubbling out of her and it's exploding out of her, because that's what the life of Christ does. I've come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. Oh, gosh. There we go. Preachers should never look at their watches. Let me introduce you fourthly this morning, and this is my final point. Not only is he the God of strength, not only is he the God of stupendous deeds and salvation, he's the God of succor. It's an old-fashioned word, an old word. It means care. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 puts it this way: on that day you will say, praise the Lord, he was angry with me, but now he comforts me. God himself has compassion on you. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to be trying. He looks at most of us and say, we are very trying. He expects us to be trying to reflect the life of Christ. But he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He comes to us. He knows we're going to fall down. When my son Matthew would ride off on his little bike once the stabilizers were taken off, when he fell over and landed and he cried, what did I do? Say, you stupid boy, get back on and ride again and ride it properly. Of course I didn't. Come here. Let's have a love. Let's put you back on the bike. Let's hold the back of the saddle for a bit to just get you comfortable and confident again. Why would our God, our loving Heavenly Father, be any different to an earthly father? He comforts us. First of all, he comforts by giving us promises, like we've looked at some already this morning. He removes our sins from us. There's no condemnation to us. Listen, if you're feeling guilty because of something that happened 985 years ago, dust it off your shoulders. Get rid of it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Don't let a ball and chain of something that happened years ago stop you from rising in praise and service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comforts you by promising you that he's removed all of that stuff from you. The Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he's even provided a way of escape from future temptation. Now, this might be radical to you, but I want to tell you this. Before you sin, you know that there's a good chance you're going to sin. Sin is conscious. And at that moment, Christ provides a way of escape for you. I came down Fish Hill yesterday, which is sort of Broadway. Conference I was at was in Oxfordshire. We sort of came back down Fish Hill. And as you come down Fish Hill, it sort of twists and turns a bit. There are escape lanes where you can put your car into the sand if your brakes have gone. Can I tell you this morning? God provides a way of escape for us to avoid future temptation. He places us in families where we can encourage one another and love one another and help each other to grow. He puts the Holy Spirit in our heart. The Holy Spirit, there's a bit of a clue in the name. He's there to produce holiness in us. Listen, if you think the Holy Spirit is there to make you jump up and down for half an hour, you know, I mean, I've been in a Pentecostal denomination. Let me tell you, you run out of steam. I'm being a little bit fatuous, but I'm making you smile, but it's the truth. The Holy Spirit's not to make you weird. The Holy Spirit's to make you holy. He wants to develop godly character in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That Holy Spirit empowers us to worship. I'll just be honest with you. I've been a Christian minister for 17 years. Before that, I was an elder for about 12 years, 29 years. Before that, I was a house group leader and a worship leader. I can just about manage G, C, and D. Don't ask me to play. I really, you know, I knew what was going on just a few minutes ago. That was fantastic. You handled that really well. Well done. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship. I used to come into church sometimes and think, oh, the last thing I feel like doing is. But when the Holy Spirit comes within you, you can't turn him off. He empowers us to worship. He empowers us to witness. Can I tell you, by dealing with our sin problem and adopting us into his family, he redeems our life from the empty way of life that we once felt. By giving us victory over temptation and placing us in his church, he guarantees that we'll be encouraged to replicate his victory over Satan. By placing the Holy Spirit within us, he gives us a great commission to work at. He gives us purpose for our lives. And on top of all of that, there's the assurance that Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and one day I'll come and receive you to be with myself. So as I conclude this morning, it's absolutely right on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday that we should give God our praise for his bountiful provision upon the earth. For once again, that which was dead has been brought to life, and we've received a bounty. Oh, but God would have you praise him this morning, that he is your strength and your song, that he's done stupendous things for us, that he's our salvation, and he succors us through our daily lives. No wonder the old Methodist hymn writer, see, it's a song, I'm trying to behave myself, you see. I'm bringing the message into land. I thought I'd better put a Methodist hymn in there. No wonder they wrote, how good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as his power, and he knows neither measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past, and trust him for all that's to come. So on this Harvest Thanksgiving, I say to you, God has been faithful again. What stops you from trusting him for your future? God has made himself known to you as Emmanuel, God with us. If you've never trusted him, please come and have a chat with me. I'd love to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would say to me, Tim, I am a Christian, but I'm just sort of struggling with the way it all goes, well, I'm here to pray for you. That's what I'm here for. We won't make a big song and dance about it. You just come and tap me on the shoulder and say, oi mush, pray with me. And I will. I've been called worse than that, so I promise you, that's not a problem. We should be thankful to God for all he has done. And we should trust him for all he wants to do through us. May God bless that word to your hearts this morning. Amen.